This devotion is the start of a series which I felt led to bring you during the corona crisis. The title to this devotion is a word of encouragement that Jesus said to his disciples at the Last Supper just before he was crucified. The title is, Be of Good Cheer, or Take Heart, I Have Overcome the World. I am writing this devotion during the early stages when the coronavirus struck the world. Here in the United Kingdom, although we may be isolated and in lockdown, we'll still need to fellowship, to encourage and to help where we can. The Apostle says in Romans 15, 1-6, We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragements they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are privileged to have technology to aid us in this. I am reminded of the words to the well-known song, Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise. Now is the time for us to march upon the land. Into our hands he will give the ground we claim. He rides in majesty to lead us into victory. The world shall see that Christ is Lord. God is at work in us, his purpose to perform, building a kingdom of power, not of words. Where things impossible, by faith shall be made possible. Let's give the glory to him now. Though we are weak, his grace is everything we need. We're made of clay, but his treasure is within. He turns our weakness into his opportunity so that the glory goes to him. Under the mighty hand of God, he will empower you to ride with your head up high and manifest God's powerful grace and love as we walk through this desert situation together. I'm sure all of us are disappointed we can't meet each Sunday with our own church fellowship and worship God together. We hear how many places of worship for the various religions have closed down for the duration. For many it is a ritual that must be done, they think, to please their God. But praise God, we do not need a place of worship to meet with God. The Apostle tells us in Hebrews 4, 14-16, Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us, then, approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We that know the Lord and have received him into our heart as Lord and Saviour have the assurance God is with us at all times. He is living in our hearts. He can communicate with us and we with him at any time and in any circumstances. We feel so humbled and blessed that just days before the shutdown, God guided us to prepare to get extra provisions in preparation for the long haul. For me personally, it was not a problem being locked down. Thankfully, the spring is upon us. The vegetable garden was waiting, as we read in the Song of Solomon 2:10-12. My beloved spoke and said to me, Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone, flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come, the cooing of doves is heard in our land. All of us can in some manner have a place, big or small, where we can grow some plants, be they flowers or vegetables. To wait with anticipation for the seeds to germinate and seeing the first hedge pushing through is a great joy. What we are experiencing and seeing around the world, we will manifest new beginnings and new opportunities. Knowing we could be in for a long haul, I've purchased a few vegetable seeds, immediately planting a row of first early potatoes together with a small quantity of cabbage seed. We do not know what kind of summer we may have. It could be, as a result of so much rain, we could have a drought. This calls for us to be vigilant with water. In years gone by, gardeners purchased large terracotta jugs with a narrow neck, which were called ollas, and buried them in the ground. The jars were filled with water, then the water slowly seeped through the porous wall to feed the plants. You can make your own by taking a pair of the modern terracotta pots, sealing the hole in the bottom of the one pot, and joining them together around the rim with silicone, and bury them in the soil. We'll do the same thing. What is happening at this present time is a time of immense shifts in the atmosphere. Mankind is in fear, not knowing which way to turn. It is our chance to share with our friends and neighbours who they can turn to. I am saddened and very disheartened when I speak to fellow Christians concerning the times we're living in. There is great apathy. Just before Jesus was crucified, he sought to warn his disciples what was about to happen to him, but it did not sink in. In John 16:12 we read, when Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. I can empathize with Jesus. He could see the fuller picture, but the disciples did not get it. By reading my Bible and sensitively reading what is happening in the world, I have a grasp of what God is doing. I feel like the prophet Jeremiah, who was sent by God to warn the Israelites who had turned their backs on God. If they did not turn back to him, they would suffer. But they did not heed his words. Some churches do not want to hear what God is saying to us today. The Lord is speaking very clear in these times. In fact, he is shouting, but the church is not heeding the signs. It was during one of our home studies that the word of God came to me. The word God gave to me were, get ready. For me and other like-minded Christians who know their Bible, who are close to the Lord, who moment by moment are hearing God's voice, cannot fail to recognize the urgency of the time we are living in. God very clearly says in his word in Haggai 2:6-7, this is what the Lord Almighty says, in a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. Hebrews 12:26-27 reads, at that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removal of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Back in the Old Testament, Israel was facing 3 years of drought. Then at the appointed time, God sent the rains. When Elijah faced up to Ahab and Jezebel and the prophets of Baal, Elijah called out to God. We read in 1 Kings 18:36-39, at the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, Lord, the God of Abram, Isaac and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burnt up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. Yes, God was using these miracles to show that he is the true God, so that people would recognize him and turn back to him. It is exactly what we see happening today. God is again seeking to turn man back to himself. God is about to give the church the opportunities. We must be ready for the imminent return of Jesus and to take every opportunity to tell the world about him. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:15-17, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." During the difficult time, the Lord has been reassuring many of our fellow Christians the words from Psalm 91. Let's read again to encourage one another. "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shelter of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terrors of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked." If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angel concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." What a reassurance these words bring. It excites and builds up our spirit. We also read in 1 John 4:2-4. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. "Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." We can find reassurance by what we read in Isaiah 26:3-4. "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal." It has been said we can talk the walk, but we must walk the talk, because our testimony will speak volumes about where we are in our relationship with God and be a witness to the church and the world. Just after Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well, we read in John 4:39, "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I did." I want to bring two instances that occurred over recent days. Chris was asked by a neighbour to pray for members of her family who lived in London, asking for protection from the coronavirus. The coronavirus that is impacting the world is certainly bringing fear and panic to folk. One day at the commencement of the crisis, I visited my neighbour. He is a strong, industrious person, yet this epidemic is bringing him fear. He told me he would like to get inside his house and close the door till the epidemic had passed. He asked me, "What is happening?" I replied, It is all in the big plan. It is trying to get the world to refocus. Then he said, the Lord knows. Yes, I said, he does. This was the first time I had the opening to share just a few words of witness. His next comic, which is loaded with big questions, was, what if the animals get a similar condition? I thought, yes, this has happened in the past. Could God permit or send a plague on our animals? I felt I had said sufficient for the moment, yet my thoughts went to the Old Testament on the first night of the Passover, when God through Moses told the children of Israel to take a lamb, slaughter it, and paint the doorposts and the lintels of the homes with the blood. All who stayed inside, be it an Israelite or a foreigner, would be protected from the angel of death that would pass through and kill every male firstborn, both man and beast, belonging to the Egyptians. With that, Pharaoh consented for the Israelites to leave Egypt. In Exodus 3:19-21, God said to Moses, but I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let them go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed towards this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. We continue to read in Deuteronomy 4:33-35. Has any other people heard the voice of God, speaking out of the fire, as you have and lived? Has any God ever tried to take for himself one nation out of another nation by testings, by signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by great and awesome deeds? Like all the things the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? You were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God. Besides him, there is no other. I recently read a testimony in Breaking Christian News which was titled, Atheist Doctor in Italy Found God While on Duty Fighting Against COVID-19. An atheist doctor, Dr. Julian Urban, from Italy, realized he needed to start asking God for help in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic hitting their country while on duty. In a Facebook post, Jim McCarthy shared a powerful testimony from a doctor forwarded by his friend from Italy. This is a testimony by an Italian atheist doctor. The 38-year-old medical doctor is serving in the hospital in Lombardy, Italy. Dr. Julian encountered what they experienced inside the hospital while fighting against COVID-19. He stated, never in my darkest nightmares did I imagine that I would see and experience what has been going on in Italy in our hospitals the past 3 weeks. The nightmare flows and the river gets bigger and bigger. Then the doctor described how a few patients suddenly become hundreds. And he said, now we are no longer doctors, but sorters who decide who should live and who should be sent home to die, though all these patients paid Italian health taxes throughout their lives. However, in the midst of this unlikely situation inside the hospital, some doctors have come to know God. Dr. Julian narrated, until 2 weeks ago, my colleagues and I were atheists. It was normal because we are doctors. We learn that science excludes the presence of God. He testified how he mocked his parents going to church in the past, and how that all changed after meeting a pastor who was admitted to the hospital. 9 days ago, a 75-year-old pastor who was admitted into the hospital. He was a kind man. He had serious breathing problems, recounted Dr. Julian. He had a Bible with him and impressed us by how he read it to the dying as he held their hand. We doctors were all tired, discouraged, psychologically and physically finished. When we had time, we listened to him. We had reached our limit. We can do no more. People are dying every day. We're exhausted. We have two colleagues who have died and others that have been infected. Then he and his colleague realized, we need to start asking God for help. He testified, when we talk to each other, we cannot believe that, though we were once fierce atheists, we are now daily in search of peace, asking the Lord to help us continue so that we can take care of the sick. Dr. Julian later on disclosed that the 75-year-old pastor died. He said, despite having had over 120 deaths here in 3 weeks, we were not destroyed. He, the pastor, had managed, despite his condition and our difficulties, to bring us a peace that we no longer had hoped to find. The pastor went to the Lord, and soon we will follow him if matters continue like this. But despite the threats of their health, Dr. Julian expressed his gratitude because he found God again. I haven't been here for 6 days. I don't know what I ate last, he said, and I realized his worthlessness on this earth and wants to use his last breath helping others. Moreover, the former atheist claimed, I am happy to have returned with God while I am surrounded by the suffering and death of our fellow men. This testimony highlights that there is a deep spiritual change impacting people in this crisis. God is working behind the scenes. The testimony concludes with a Bible verse from Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I pray that everyone I have conversation with would ask why. Why is the world experiencing such a violent and evil? Be encouraged with the great ingathering of souls into the kingdom of God that is so close to it commenced. Let us be ready. For under the mighty hand of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be empowered to speak as with the apostle in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Amen. A final word from Jude 20 and 21. But you, dear friends, by building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in God's love as you are waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. During this crisis, we are all experiencing some way or another that is only one person who can give us reassurance, hope and peace. It is the Lord Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. David wrote in Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Let us finish by listening to the beautiful hymn, it is well with my soul. Thank you.
Sing it as well. With my soul.